The Earth's Hidden Treasure. From The Book of Knowledge, edited by Arthur Mee and Holland Thompson, Ph.D. As good as gold, we say when we wish to speak in terms of high praise. We can think of no substance given to us as more valuable than gold. With gold we make the king's crown, and with gold we make the money which keeps the nation over which he rules. Gold will buy anything which is to be sold, because all nations have from the very earliest ages regarded it as the most precious of metals. The possession of gold makes the meanest man powerful. The lack of gold may make a great man weak. By the aid of gold we can do enormous good. By the misuse of gold we may do enormous harm. Men sacrifice their lives in the honest attempt to get gold. Men commit grave crimes in the dishonest attempt to get it. What is this all-powerful metal? Where does it come from? Is it a metal dug out of the earth just as lead and iron and tin are? For ages upon ages, men called alchemists tried to make this metal which a child may find in the soil. They spend their own fortunes and the fortunes of other people, and ruined their lives and died heartbroken or mad in the hopeless attempt to convert less valuable metals into gold. Yet gold was to be had in abundance in the soil of nearly every country. It had been hidden in the earth by nature, a buried treasure, and may be found by any diligent seeker or stumbled upon by the fortunate. We find gold in rivers, in dry land where once rivers ran, and in rocks. We know where gold is to be discovered. We know of what gold is composed. We know that it is, like iron and lead and tin, one of nature's most precious gifts to man. But how it came into the soil and rocks, how it was formed, we do not know. We find gold embedded in rocks which were created in the earth's hot interior, and feel disposed to say, "Oh, all gold has been formed in the fiery heat of the earth's internal furnace." But that will not do. We find gold also in great rocks which have been formed by the seas depositing mass upon mass of sediment. There is gold floating in the seas around the American coast today. Though the work is not very profitable, men make a living by extracting the gold from the waves which wash the shores of part of Australia. Gold is found in the sands of some of our rivers and in the water of hot mineral springs. So we cannot say with certainty whether gold came originally from the inside of the earth or from the waters which cover the greater part of the world. Probably some of it comes from the earth and some from the waters, but whatever its source, there it is, nature's surprise packet for a man, a free gift to the lucky and the industrious. We learn much of the past history of the world in our quest of this rich gift of nature to man. We find it in the beds of streams and rivers which run far from their original course. It has been washed there, along with masses of material of what once were mountains, worn down by rain and wind and frost and heat. The bulk of the material has been borne away, but gold, being seven times as heavy as the material in which it is contained, has sunk into the beds of the rivers and remained to be eagerly sought and found by men centuries and centuries after it last moved. Then we find gold in dry land, where once a river was. Big nuggets are discovered in these places. One, called the Welcome Nugget, weighing nearly 185 pounds and worth more than $50,000, was discovered over 50 years ago in this way by poor men seeking fortune in South Australia. No such masses of gold as this are found in the rocks. There it is found in veins, and the rocks have to be blasted and crushed to release it. The strange thing is that gold which has been carried by water in past ages may be found on hilltops, far from any river. Ages ago, the river carrying the ruins of still older hills, gold and all, flowed over newer hills, cut down through them, formed a valley, and wore away a course at the foot of the hills, leaving the gold to become embedded in the rocks crowning their peaks, which the water left unhurt. And then, with the progress of the ages, the rivers have carved entirely new courses for themselves, so that they run now at right angles to their old beds. The search for gold has led to the unfolding of the earth's history, which these chapters from the past reveal so clearly. We do not know where Solomon got his gold, but we know that in ancient days great quantities of gold were used, and we find gold on the coffins of Egyptians buried 400 or 500 years before the Romans, who were great seekers for gold, first went to England. To the ancients it was the most precious of metals, because to them the most rare of all. The truth is that gold is not more scarce than copper, tin, and lead, and is more plentiful than nickel, cobalt, platinum, and other rare metals. But it has special values. A little of it goes a very long way, in working just as in spending. A single grain of gold can be beaten into a gold leaf 56 inches square. And the gold, which the guilders use, called gold leaf, is so thin that 280,000 sheets of it, laid one above another, measure only an inch in height. Pure gold is nearly as soft as lead, yet a grain of it can be drawn into a wire 500 feet long. While gold wire, only 65,000th of an inch thick, will actually hold up a weight of no less than 150 pounds. A wonderful metal is this gold, which nature has stored for us so carefully in the rocks and soil and sea and riverbeds of practically all countries. The End. Read by Rick Kistner for Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.